Good morning.
Praise God. This is a hard Sunday. This is a Sunday that pastors don't like. Because Christmas is over. You know, you can't go back there. We're suffering from too much turkey and too little sleep. New Year hasn't started yet. And we're kind of... So Pastor Ralph said, you preach. No, I volunteered, really, because I know it's one of those Sundays. And can we just have a different kind of a Sunday? Would that be a message? We've had a, I don't know if you were paying attention to those words on the screen, but they were powerful. Powerful. I often think I'd be sitting this, or worship in a church service most Sunday mornings and thinking, well, if we could only do that. If we were only there, what we're singing, if we were only there. What difference a church would be, because we are the church, right? So would you allow me, would you cooperate if I asked you to do something?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah? Okay, I've got three at least there. I want to start, first of all, well, maybe we should pray first, because I need prayer. We're going to get through this morning, I need some prayer. So let's pray. Father, thank you for the privilege of being in your house today. Thank you for seeing faces and friends we haven't seen for a while, and thank you for those who are traveling today and visiting. We ask your protection over them. And Father, may your presence be real in our lives. And I pray for your special touch on this word this morning as we participate together to truly believe what we say we believe. Holy Spirit, we welcome you. Come and make your word alive to our hearts. We pray in Jesus' name. Would you say amen? Amen. So be it. Okay, we have a lot of emphasis on family at Christmas time. And I've always believed in family. I've always preached it, taught it, gone to all the seminars. And it is not, it hurts, but it should not be a surprise to me that the attack on our life comes through our family, through family pains and hurts and disappointments and discouragements. But I found something that's very funny. I think it's possible, probably illegal, but not probable. You see what I mean. It's possible, but not probable. Many years ago, when I was 23, I got married to a widow as pretty as could be. That's okay so far. This widow had a grown-up daughter who had hair of red. My father fell in love with her, and soon the two were wed. This made my dad my son-in-law and changed my very life. My daughter was my mother, for she was my father's wife. That's okay so far. To complicate the matters worse, although it brought me joy, I soon became the father of a bouncing baby boy. My little baby then became a brother-in-law to my dad, and so became my uncle, though it made me very sad. For if he was my uncle, then that also made him brother to the widow's grown-up daughter, who, of course, was my stepmother. You're losing it here? I'm losing it. Father's wife then had a son who kept them on the run, and he became my grandson, for he was my daughter's son. My wife is now my mother's mother, and it makes me blue, because although she is my wife, she's my grandma too. If my wife is my grandmother, then I am her grandchild. And every time I think of it, it drives me wild, for now I've become the strangest case you've ever seen. Or you ever saw. Got a Ryan here. As the husband of my grandmother, I am my own grandpa. You want to hear that again? No, you don't want to hear that again. Who has time to sit down and think of this stuff? You know, you go on Facebook, you see all these things on the internet. What do these people do? Well, they'll give us stuff to read. And some of it is good. Some of it is really good. And that's the danger. You can't just go on there for a minute because this leads you to this and this leads you to this. But I want to ask you a question. In fact, would you mind standing? I told you this would be different. Would you mind standing? And would you mind participating? If you don't participate, it's okay. It's quite okay. You didn't come out here to be embarrassed in any way, but you'd like to. I want you to think of this last Sunday of the year. I want you to think of what someone could say to you right now that would really encourage you. Think of what someone could say to you right now that would really encourage you. Hope you have a good year next year. I hope this is the best year. You know what I mean? That's something that would encourage. What would you like to hear on this Sunday morning? Got it? Okay, I want you to go and share that with five people. Whoa, 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 look at them. Look at the... Go and tell them that. Yeah, tell five people. Tell five people what you would like to hear. You're an encouragement to everybody who sees you here on a Sunday morning working so crazy. You are a blessing to see you. Your faithfulness. Appreciate your faithfulness. Bless you.
You have a happy, healthy New Year.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. You know what would encourage me? To be told, man, I wish I was young again. Good
young.
To see you, Jeff. Good to see you. Good to see you. God bless you. Good to have you. Yeah.
What was yours?
I wish I was pretty.
That's what
Chuck said. You bring out the best in us. God bless you. Have a good, good year. You are an encouragement, and this year is going to be the best year you've ever had. Can you believe that, Nina? May this year be the best year you have ever had. For you too. All three of you. The best year you've ever had this coming year. Yeah. I want you to have the best year you've ever had. 2015. The best year. The rest of your life is the best of your life. May you have the best year this year. This is your year.
Thank you.
For all.
And I pray that healing is a year that, this is the year that's going to be totally healed.
Amen. We receive that. The goodness of God. Wow. Some of these things are hard to do because you've got to process them in your mind, you know. But I just want to say, may this year be the absolute best year that you've ever had in your life. And you can look back on some great years and think, but I also want to say this. The rest of your life is the best of your life. Amen? That doesn't mean that we're not going to have a struggle. I remember when Doreen's dad and mom were in Calgary. We were in Calgary before we came out here. We would communicate with them, and he would tell us how wonderful things that were happening in the church there. And for 2-3 years, in fact, I didn't like to talk to them because they would tell me how many wonderful things were happening back in Calgary. And, you know, some good things were happening where we were, but not that wonderful. So when I ran into the pastor at a conference, I said, Ken, I hear you're having some incredibly wonderful services and time. He said, yeah, Peter, but it's been the hardest year of my life. So kind of, you can't seem to, you know what I mean? It's kind of one or the other. Or both. Sometimes they just kind of go with you, you know. But may you be blessed with just the revelation of God's blessing in your life, God's will, God's purpose for your life. He has something good for you. One of the things that I love Joyce Meyer. One of the things I know she says, God's not mad at you. Wow. They need to get a hold of that. God's not mad at us. You know why? Because he got mad, I say this carefully, at Jesus when Jesus became sin and God judged the sin that Jesus had become. And so he doesn't judge us anymore. He sees us justified. Justification is how God sees us through the blood of his son Jesus. Hallelujah. That's why we can sing. He's a friend of mine. I'm a friend of God. The songs we sang this morning. Hallelujah. I have another little assignment. This is a little harder. I'm going to come down here to help you. been reading a number of books since on my birthday. My family gave me a Kindle reader, and you kind of, you know, you go in a store, you pay money for a book, but here you press a button and you have the book. Of course, the bill comes at the end of the month, but exactly, you've got a new book like that. And I'm reading one on pagan Christianity, where all the things that we, most of the things we do today didn't come out of the New Testament and out of the book of Acts. It came out of pagan and Roman tradition. That's scary. I'm already waiting for the end of the book to tell the guy I don't like it. You hit the button and say, I don't like it. Already. But he brings some good thoughts there. He said, like, you know, we sit in church every morning, Sunday, and we stare at the backs of people's heads. And they don't let us say anything. Sometimes I'm sure you have something to say. And I've been thinking about that, Pastor Ralph. But at some point, when we have the men's thing, I want some of you who have been studying end time to come and tell us what. It's your men's breakfast. It's for you to tell us what you feel about the end time. Maybe you know when Jesus is coming back and you can tell us when. I know exactly when he's coming back. Absolutely. When the trumpet sounds. That's when he's coming back. But here's what I want to do. I'm taking time, okay? Because it's a different... One of these books I've just read by Mark Batterson. I always want to call him Patterson. Mark Batterson. Excellent writer. God called him to open a church on Capitol Hill down in Washington, D.C. On the hill. And he's doing tremendous work for God. But he said in there when he was 23 years of age and he was going to be ordained, and he had to come before an ordination committee. They would challenge him to see what he knew. And I've been on both sides of those ordination committees. I've been on the board and sat through and let them question me. And you always are nervous because you want to make sure you've got your doctrine in place. So he said, I studied the rapture, the pre-rapture, mid-rapture, post-rapture, tribulation, pre and all. He said, I studied Calvinism and Arminianism. I had my doctrines down basic. I was ready for those guys. 23 years old. He goes in there in his nice suit and he sits down in front of them and he gets ready. And the first question he is asked, young man, in one word, describe yourself. He said, everything I studied for the last 7 months just went, describe myself. This guy, if you read his book, you know he's A-type plus personality. And right away he says, I'm driven. He says, 15 years later, as I write this book now on, it's called Soul Print. He said, what a stupid answer. what these men are trying to see what I have in me for ministry, and I'm telling them, I'm driven. I'm impressing them. They realize now it's a stupid answer. But I got thinking about this. I couldn't sleep for a while after I read it. I had to put down the book and say, okay, what am I? How would I describe myself in one word? Let's put away any sense of mock humility here. You know what I mean by mock humility? That's what Shakespeare called it. Mock humility. Where do you? I don't want to say that because it may look like I'm boasting. Would you describe yourself in one word? It could be your whole life. It could be the last month. It could be the last year. It'd be a good way to describe yourself this past year because it's the end of the year. Because I want to give you a new word for the new year. I'm going to give you an example. And if you think it's boasting, that's your problem, not mine. If I was going to describe myself to you in one word today, I would say faithful. I've been faithful. Perfect? Not perfect. But I've been faithful. Who would like to stand and describe yourself in one word?
Servant.
100%. God bless you.
Focused.
Amen. Amen. We know that. You're building forever.
Exhorter.
And you are. Can I say something? You heard what she said?
Yeah.
Forgiver. 4 days ago, we celebrated our 47th birthday. If I had said her 47th, you would understand that. Our 47th anniversary. And the reason why is because she is a good forgiver. That's the reason why. Ed. Generous? Beautiful. Beautiful. Come on, some young people. Come on, in faith.
Faithful to your Bible.
Lover of the Word. Okay. That's more than one word, but we'll take it. Because you have so much in you and you've been such a blessing. I would call you an encourager in the house of the Lord. You have certainly been that. Anybody else? Come on. Come on, you young people who have so much to say.
I feel I'm peacekeeper.
Peacekeeper. Angie, thank you. You are. And the Bible says that you shall reflect the likeness of God. Peacekeepers do that.
I'm an agitator.
You're an agitator. Should we cast it out of him? You know what another word for that agitator is? Because that's what I am. Exhorter. Because in exhortation, there is that thing that ruffles feathers. Kind of ruffles feathers. Anyone else? Come on. This is good. Compassionate. Amen. You are so.
Friendly,
you are. Amen. Come on. Come on. Cole. I see you as consistent. And that bus starts up in the morning, he's there, right? Consistent. Thank you, Cole. You're going to go home and say, I wish I had said something. I wish I had said something. Anyone else?
Worshipper.
You are. Not only are you a worshipper, you encourage us to worship. Yeah, I think you are a minstrel. A true minstrel. Come on, give some people a little nudge.
Thoughtful.
You are. I think that's tied into the servant gifting too, right? And you're thoughtful because you see what needs to be done. Anyone else?
Merciful.
Kind? You are. Very kind. Very kind. Thank you. Robert.
Thankful.
You're thankful? Well, I'm thankful for you. Thank you, Robert. Pastor.
Faithful.
You know why I kind of chose faithful for me too, the two of us? One of the things that we know Jesus will say, he'll say many things probably, but one of the things he'll say is, well done. And I want to say it to him. Well done, thou good and faithful servants. These two. Well done.
Right.
Amen. Come on, all those who want to say, come on, Bethany, come on. Some of you are just wanting to say something. Come on.
I would say this year,
perseverance. And you'll need less of it next year. Amen. We come to peaks and then we go over the top. Praise God. Praise God.
Learner.
And you sure need to do it right now while you are in the midst of what you're doing. Be a reader. You know what I heard years ago? Readers are leaders. The Apostle Paul was asking Timothy, when you come, bring two things with you. Bring my coat, because it's going to be a cold winter, and bring my books. I need my books. Readers, may you be a blessed as a reader and a learner. One or two more.
Merciful.
Thank you, Jamie. Merciful.
Empathetic.
I heard something.
Empathetic.
You feel, that's got compassion, very close to compassion. You're touched with other feeling, other people's feelings. Amen. This is good. Well, I don't even have up my favorite picture yet. Years ago, I saw this on Facebook. Can you put that up there for me? One of my favorite pictures. I told you we'd just take our time. I'm not being graded by anybody. Am I grading any of you responsible for my papers? You know, a lot of our lives, our happiness, our success, our fulfillment, so much of it depends on how we see ourselves. How we see ourselves. And you may look at that and say, but that's not truth. That's not a true reflection. I had a word up there where the dark is, and I blanked it out because it, as soon as we talk doctrine, people shut us down. I know that for years. I know. Oh, he's thinking doctrine. Wake me up when he's telling me a story. But this is justification. Yeah. This is what this is. It's justification. The Bible says that Jesus died for our sins and was raised from the dead for our justification. He rose from the dead to keep us in the mind of God as though we had never sinned. So when Jesus rises from the dead, rose from the dead, and he's alive today, when you present yourself before God, he doesn't see you as a weak little kitty. He sees you as the Lion of Judah. He sees you as one who is anointed. And I want to talk about that this morning. The anointed. Anointed for 2015. You know how many men Jesus had and changed the world? He said, just give me 12. And one of them failed him. One of them doubted him. They weren't the greatest of guys, but the few that he had that believed that they were really the reflection of God, it turned the world upside down. We need a few of this kind of seeing to turn the world up right side up. Get it back on track. Thank you for sharing that this morning. Let's run through these scriptures quickly this morning. Slide number 2. God has anointed us for 2015. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, 20:21 and 22, I'm reading from the Amplified Bible. For as many as are the promises of God. How many know there are thousands of promises of God? Amen. As many as there are promises of God, they all find their amen or their fulfillment in Jesus Christ. Everything in the Old Testament pointed to Jesus. Every word that was spoken, every feast, every special day pointed to Jesus. It says this, they all find their amen in Christ. For this reason, we also utter the amen to God through him. That is that in his person and by his agency to the glory of God. Paul is writing to the Corinthian church, had a lot of problems. And he says in verse 21, but it is God who confirms and makes us steadfast and establishes us in fellowship with you in Christ and has consecrated, listen now, and here it is, and has anointed us. He has anointed us, as verse 21. In other words, he has endued us with his presence and his power and the Holy Spirit. Verse 22. And he also has appropriated and acknowledged us as his, putting his seal and giving us his Holy Spirit in our hearts as a security deposit. I love that. He said he has given us the Holy Spirit as a down payment on what he has for us. Now let's see it this way. Let's bring it right down to December 28. He has given us the Holy Spirit as a deposit of what he wants to give us in this new year. Amen. Can we grab a hold of that? God is going to speak to us this morning through his word about you in 2015. Now, if you can't handle it, it's okay. Just if you're not ready for this, just put your head down, close your eyes, and have a little sleep. But don't distract anybody from listening who wants and needs to hear this. You know something? I need to hear this. We've had quite a year this year. A lot of challenges, a lot of things that just kind of come out of the... They just hit you from, you know, when you're not expecting them. And I need to hear this morning. And I hope you would allow the Holy Spirit to speak into your heart. The anointing. Sometimes I see on church signs, anointed preaching, anointed worship, anointed song. You know, the advertising is, it used to be prophetic. That's what we used to hear a few years ago. Come and hear prophetic preaching. Come and hear prophetic singing and prophetic ministry. Now we hear the word anointing. Listen, the anointing is not Holy Ghost goosebumps that come on you on Sunday morning when you're singing a certain chorus. Ooh, that service was anointed this morning. Why? I could feel. Well, maybe. There's nothing wrong with that. But there's got to be a lot more to it than that. Amen? We agree on that? There's got to be a lot more than just feeling good that whether the anointing is there or not. So here's what it is. The anointing is the burden removing, yoke destroying power of God. Come on now, give me an amen and I'll keep going. It is the burden removing, yoke destroying power of God. I'm going to use the word it here, but I'm speaking about not the Holy Spirit, but the work of the Holy Spirit. So I'm saying it. Later on I'll say he. It enables us to accomplish God's will. Somebody say. Come on. I want to know you're here. Okay? I'm going to read it again. And I want you to say amen. It enables us to accomplish God's will. Amen. Oh, that's better. It supplies all we need. Amen. It empowers us for the task. Amen. It causes us to walk in divine health. Amen. It guarantees our victory. Amen. Well, don't hit that next one yet for me, Wendy, because I want to hold on to that next thought. This is the ideal. This is what God has provided for us through Jesus' death and resurrection. And when he said it is finished, it meant everything that the Old Testament pointed to was now complete. It was done. And the church inherits all of this. This is mine. This is yours. Every one of these. It is not without condition, though. They are on condition. The only thing that's unconditional from God is his love. And unfortunately, we make his love conditional and we make his promises unconditional. But every promise is conditional. And so when we line up with this and stand on the word and do all the stuff that you've known about over the years, about speaking it and believing it and standing on the word, every one of these is your potential. And I want you to believe that this morning. I want you to believe you can walk in this kind of victory. Look at them one at a time. Look at them again. Let them soak into your heart. Do you know how we can believe this? You may look at that and say, I've heard this. I don't know if I believe it. What makes this believable? Are you ready? Okay. Touch it once more. Because this is what it did for Jesus. This is what it did for Jesus. And you said, yeah, I'm not Jesus. Did you notice? Jesus was the Son of God. Of course that was his. Listen, everything, I'm going to jump ahead of myself here for a minute. Everything that Jesus did on this earth, he did as man, not as God. A man 100% dependent on the Holy Spirit. Better not go ahead there. I better hang on there just for a minute. This is what it did for Jesus. So just let's take a quick look at Jesus. The next script. Jesus Christ. I've run into people over the years who thought that Christ was his last name. Who are you? I'm Jesus Christ. I'm the son of Joseph and Mary Christ. We know it's not that. Jesus was probably, he maybe got the last name Carpenter. Remember the carpenters? They were probably great, 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 great grandkids of Jesus' mom and dad. That's why we have millers, because in every town and village there was a mill. That's why we have smiths, because there was blacksmiths and ironsmiths. And we have these names because of what people were. So we don't know what Joseph and Mary went by, but we know this, that the name Christ was not his last name. The name Christ, Christos, means he was the promised Messiah. He was the one anointed by God. Amen. You get that? He was anointed by God. Jesus, the anointed. Let's click that once and they'll come. Jesus, the one sent by God, empowered with God's presence, having fulfilled his mission. And the Apostle Paul wrote and said, in him, in Jesus Christ, dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. In the man. In the man, Christ Jesus. We need to understand that and get that settled in our heart. In fact, in Philippians chapter 2, the Apostle Paul gets this revelation. He says, and who gave himself up to the cross and died even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him, the man, a name that is above every name. That at the name of Yeshua, Yeshua Mashiach, every knee shall bow of things in heaven, of things on earth, and of things under the earth. And that every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ, Yeshua Mashiach, is Lord. That's what I've said many times. The greatest confession that can come out of these human lips is this. Jesus Christ is Lord. Say it with me. Jesus Christ is Lord. So powerful. Say it again. Jesus Christ is Lord. Hallelujah. Things in heaven means the heavenly realm. Things on earth where we are. Things under the earth. There will come a day when every knee, every demonic power will bow. And they will confess. It's not Allah. It's not Muhammad. It's not any of the other Buddhas or Hare Krishnas. It is Yeshua Mashiach, the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And it's so important that we understand this. It's so important that we take this to the next step. And the next step is this, the word Messiah. Messiah. He was promised as Messiah. Yeshua Mashiach. Do you know what the word anoint literally means? If you took it in its commonest form in the Greek or the Hebrew, if you were at the beach and you had your friend some suntan oil and say, could you put some on my back for me? And they put a little oil in your and rub your back. They're actually anointing you. That's basically what that means, to rub with oil. You say, well, there's got to be more to it than that. Yeah, and you really... understanding, and I don't understand it totally. I got little glimpses of it into the Greek and Hebrew, but it can get very complicated. We're going to see in a moment here with one verse how this thing develops when you take it in context and apply it to God and not just to us, God's relationship with us. Here's what it says in Luke 4:18. As soon as his ministry began... Well, it didn't say that. I'm going to read this in a minute. Jesus said this. Jesus said, God has anointed me. I am the one you have been looking for. Let's read that in Luke chapter 4. Yeshua Mashiach. I don't know if I'm ruining the Hebrew here or not, but it's very similar to that. Jesus the Christ, the Messiah. Luke chapter 4, reading from about verse 16. And so Jesus came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and entered the synagogue, and as was his custom, on the Sabbath day, he went into the synagogue. And there it was handed to him the roll of the book of the prophet Isaiah. He opened the book, found the place where it was written. Here's what he was reading. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me. In literal sense, he has rubbed me with oil. But this is a special rubbing, a special anointing, a special pouring of God's oil on this specially called individual called Jesus, the Messiah, the man, 100% man. He has anointed me to preach the good news. He has sent me to announce the release of the captives, recovering of the bite to the blind, those who are trodden, bruised, crushed, to proclaim the accepted day of the Lord, the day when salvation and free favor of God comes profusely. He rolled up the book. Listen now. gave it back to the attendant, sat down. The eyes of all the synagogue were gazing attentively at him. And he began to speak and said, this is what he said, today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your ear. What was he saying? That's me. He said, I am the one that Isaiah is speaking of. He has anointed me to preach this gospel to you. You know what's so amazing? Because it captures the life and the response of the people of Jesus' day. Look at this. He spoke unto them today. This is fulfilled. Verse 22 says, and all spoke well of him and marveled at the words of grace that came forth from his mouth. But he didn't stop preaching. He kept on preaching with that same anointing, that first message. And look at what happens, verse 28. And when they heard these things, all the people in the synagogue were filled with rage. These were people that were just admiring him a few minutes ago. Now they're filled with rage and rising up. They pushed him and drove him out of the city, and they were going to throw him over the cliff. Because he was anointed. Anointed does not mean that everybody's going to say, ooh, look at that holy man of God. Look at that holy woman of God. What does it mean? What does it mean to be anointed of God? Jesus did not work one miracle. He did not heal a single person until after the Holy Spirit came upon him in the River Jordan. It says he was full of the Holy Ghost and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. 40 days of testing. And he came out of the wilderness in the power of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. You want to go from full to power? Do a little, have a little testing. Don't avoid testing. Embrace testing when it comes. Everything that Jesus did, he did as a man, an anointed man. Now here's what Peter said in Acts 10, verse 38. Listen to, I think, hope you can follow it up there. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and strength and ability and power, how he went about doing good and in particular curing all that were harassed. Did you hear the word all? All that were harassed and oppressed by the power of the devil. Here is the reason, for God was with him in that anointing. Got it? He traveled for 3.5 years only. Jesus, what Jesus accomplished in 3.5 years is unprecedented. Never has there been a man on this earth that was so powerful and influential and left such a mark as Jesus did. The name of Jesus should not, the enemy has caused it to be used as a blasphemous word, a curse word, a swear word, but it should be that when we hear Jesus, Yeshua, whatever language we hear it in, we pause and we say, thanks be unto God for that name. Jesus Christ is Lord. Say it with me again. Jesus Christ is Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Click once to the next one. Here's what Jesus said in John 14. Now here's a big place where doubt and unbelief can come into our heart. So far I have felt your agreeing. I've felt you saying amen. I've felt you saying that. Amen. I want to know if you're going to say amen now. These are the words of Jesus. I assure you, and he drives it home, I most solemnly tell you, if anyone, say with me, I am an anyone. Anyone. It's not for the priests and the prophets and all the big shots in the church. This is what this book is really, really hammering home. Every believer saint, every believer a prophet of God, every believer a man or woman of God, every believer evangelism in the church. And he says, anyone steadfastly believes in me, he will himself be able to do the things that I do, and he will do even greater things than these, because I go to the Father. I didn't say that. I didn't make that up. Jesus said it. In fact, he said it 2 or 3 times in John 14. Why go to the Father? Because he said, if I don't go to the Father, the Holy Spirit will not come. I will go to the Father and pray the Father. He will send the Holy Spirit. He is with you, but he will be in you. And every one of you will become like me. Anointed. Come on. Are we capable of it? Boy. Again, we have to use the word ideally. Ideally. Give me a man or a woman who is 100% sold out to God and believe that the kingdom of God is the only thing worth fighting for in this earth because we are eternal beings. Come on, we are eternal beings. And the greatest thing that this eternal being can do is to lead another eternal being into the fullness of eternal life in Christ. Okay, the next one then. Jesus the Christ turned his disciples loose to be witnesses of this anointing. That's what he did, really. He didn't have a whole lot of time to train them. He demonstrated the kingdom of God, manifested the power of God, and he says, I'm going. And they said, what? We can't do it. He says, you can do it because I will send you the anointing. I'll send the Holy Spirit. The anointing is in the Holy Spirit. And the question I want to ask is this. Did the disciples become witnesses to the anointing? We'll read the book of Acts. I hate calling that the book of Acts. That's not anointed, calling it the book of Acts. That's just a title given to the people who put the Bible together. I think the right name should be the Acts of the Anointing in the lives of the apostles. The anointing working through these men and women of God in the early church. Acts 5, 12 to 16. Read it. Growth of the church. Just the church began to be blessed and God began to do miracles. Acts 9, again the same thing. The anointing in people's lives coming through. Acts 10, again. Folks, we don't have time to go through that this morning. But I guarantee you, this is what happened. They began to be witnesses manifesting the anointing on their lives. The anointing is the burden-removing, yoke-destroying power of God. Let's use the word he now as in the Holy Spirit. He enables us to prosper in every area. It's yours if you say amen. It's not yours without testing. He secures peace in our marriage. You know, marriages are coming under attack like never before. I was just thinking of this when we got the little notice about the bun in the oven. Sarah, you two asked for that. You know, it's we can't help but say something about it. It's so cute. So cute to be on. Them looking in a hamburger bun in the oven like, and saying, what is that? Well, I'll tell you, when we came about a year and a half ago, the marriage was in trouble. In fact, it was no marriage, right? And the enemy had attacked and thought he had a victory. But people prayed. People stood the word. People counseled. Faithful pastors, faithful people. And today we have a miracle in Stephen and Sarah. Let's thank God for them this morning. Thank you. Thank you. If your marriage is in trouble, it doesn't have to happen. That's not just, oh, everybody's marriage goes through that. No, your marriage is under attack by the enemy. Let me say something to somebody here this morning. Do not take your marriage for granted. Are you hearing me? Hear the voice of God through me this morning. Do not take your marriage for granted. Apart from your decision to make Christ your Savior, the decision who you marry is the second most important decision you'll ever make. And the enemy wants to attack marriage, as I said. Protect your marriage. Do not take it for granted. Would you give me an amen there? Amen. He heals broken relationships. Believe me, he'll do that on your jobs. You know that. But he'll also do it in the church. If you haven't seen the movie Courageous yet, I encourage you to get it and watch it. Incredible movie. Broken relationships, they hurt. And sometimes you can't do anything about it. That's why the Apostle Paul said, as much as possible, live at peace with all. Do your part. He causes us to walk in divine health. Folks, that will get tested. And I wish that every time we pray for somebody that was sick, that they got healed. I wish by now that Frank was totally free. We're claiming that for 2015. That was his word. Healing for 2015. Would you believe that? Why didn't you say that? I'm believing for healing in 2015 because of the anointing. It's the promise of God. He causes us to walk in divine health. And last one, he guarantees our victory. He guarantees it. Doesn't mean it will happen. We've got to work with him to get this. In every one of the seven churches in Revelation, Jesus says to him that overcomes. There's an overcoming. It's not, it just doesn't happen. We work this thing. We exercise faith. We walk in obedience. We trust God. We go through the testings. We come out victorious. Because that's his plan and purpose for us. It was quoted already this morning. I know the plans, the thoughts I have for you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of good. Not to give you hope and give you an expected end. I've got a plan for you. And if you'll cooperate with me, you'll have the victory. You'll have the victory. I want to go to one scripture as we close this morning. Anointed, what does it mean? Anointed, what does it mean? I'm going to turn to it in Isaiah. But let me just read how I have understood it for all these years. I've quoted it. I'm sure you have quoted it. Isaiah 10:27, and it shall come to pass in that day that his burden shall be taken away from off your shoulders and his yoke from off your neck, and the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing. I used to quote that all the time. Yep, got a yoke. I'm going to be destroyed by the anointing. Let's take a quick history. The Assyrians were in power. They had control. Assyrian, take the first two letters off of there. What do you have? Syria. Same place, same people, same problems. Assyria was like a burden, a heavy, heavy burden on the backs of the Jewish people. The Jewish people here were represented by the oxen, okay? And the yoke was the thing that controlled them and kept them in line, yoked them to each other. Now, I've got a picture here of two oxen, their heads down, they're under a heavy yoke by the oppressor. So say that the Assyrians are the enemy, like the devil. The oxen are us, the church. And the yoke is that thing that keeps us from doing what God wants us to do. Got that? What God wants us to do. Folks, listen, without doubt, I'm sure, Pastor, I'm not going to say anything that you would disagree with. But when we look at the promises of God, we don't come near to where we should be in him. In the fulfillment of the promises and the things that God wants us to accomplish, wants us to rise up and be a mighty word of force in this community. We're just scratching the surface. What do we have? What we need to do what God wants us to do? That's my question. So here's the three. We have the church under bondage of the enemy, and the Assyrians as the devil, just keeping us under the yoke. And then we come to this scripture. Let me read this to you out of the Amplified. And it shall be in that day that the burden of the Assyrians shall depart from off your shoulder. Something will happen. And his yoke from around your neck. The Assyrian, the enemy's yoke shall be broken. The yoke shall be destroyed. Listen to this now. Because of the fatness which prevents it from longer going around your neck. And I thought, wow, that's the Joyce Meyer Bible there. That's the Amplified. And I thought, What really is that word there that I've been quoting as anointing? And I would just think, okay, I've got a burden, got a yoke attacking me. Lord, the anointing! Hallelujah! And it's gone. And sometimes it has happened. But this scripture is a scripture that helps us to look at it in a different light altogether. Let me read to you. I went to Mr. Google and who knows all these things, and to Bible, what's that, Bible Gateway? Let me read a few of these, and let it just build in your own heart. And it shall come to pass that his burden, the Assyrian's burden, shall be come off of your shoulder, his yoke, the Assyrian's yoke, from your neck, and the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing. The second way I saw it in Scripture. And it shall come to pass that day that the Assyrian burden shall be taken away from off your shoulder, and his yoke from off your neck, and the yoke shall putrefy. In other words, it shall disintegrate. Get that word? That word destroy. It shall disintegrate because of the oil. This is the Bible. This is one of the translations. The oil. Another one. He will take away the troubles Assyria has brought on you, troubles that are like heavy weights carried with a yoke on your neck. But that yoke will be taken off your neck. The burden will be lifted from off your shoulders. Some of you are thinking, I've carried some things on my shoulder that I should not be carrying. I know I should not be carrying them. I know God has set me free. Then why then are they there? That's what the church is asking. Why then? What? Where is this freedom, this joy, this release from this stuff that the enemy keeps hitting us with? I love this one. Then, in that day, there's a day. And I believe that day begins January the 1st for us. I'm just applying, doing a parable from the Old Testament, what I'm doing. In that day, the troubles that the enemy has put on you, their burden that they have put on your shoulders, will be removed. And the load they make you carry, the yoke from your neck, will be removed. Destroyed because of the fat/oil. This is the word for anointing in the scripture here. Fat/oil. Because of Israel's new strength. And I put in there because of the church's new strength. And I bring it right here because of Jubilee's new strength. Come on now. Come on, where's your faith to agree with me this morning? Because of Jubilee's new strength. Watch it now. It's not the Amplified, but it amplifies it. Or because of the Lord's blessing, or because of an anointed one. An anointed. If you grew up in a place where fat means bad, you know, you won't appreciate this. I grew up in a country where all the kids were skinny. We rode bicycles and, like, you know, none of us. I don't know if I had any fat friends. In fact, this is the absolute truth. If somebody wanted to compliment you because you were looking good and healthy, they would say, man, you're getting fat. They would. You say that now and you get punched out. But say, you're getting fat. You're being blessed. You're looking good. So here's what it says. At that time, their burden will be removed from off their shoulders. Jubilee. And their yoke will be removed from off your neck. The yoke will be taken away because you have grown fat. Hallelujah. You got that? We look for this anointing, this thing that will free us from, to come. But Paul said in Ephesians, according to the power that works in you. In you. In other words, the Assyrians put that yoke on the necks of these oxen. And God is using it as an example. And probably put them in the stall for a few days. And God touched those oxen. And their necks begin to get muscular. And strong. And stronger. And the yoke one day just went. It just broke. When the Assyrians came in to use them as slaves any longer, the oxen attacked them and ran over them because they were free. They knew they were anointed. That's what it says. 1 Corinthians, I don't want to go over it again. But I want you to go to the last one, please. God wants to release in our church, in our homes and in our lives. Go ahead. The burden removing, yoke destroying, anointing of the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to challenge you this morning. I'm going to challenge you every morning for the month of January. Find a place quietly and just pray a prayer. You don't have to pray this prayer, but something like this. Something like this. Father, say it with me, would you? Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask you for a greater awareness of the need of the anointing on my life to enable me to do your will in this new year, 2015. Amen. I had it yesterday. I had it worded differently. Give me a greater desire for the anointing. But I realize we're not going to have a greater desire for the anointing until we become aware that we need a greater desire. Amen? You see what I'm saying? Something must stir within our hearts. If you want to jot that down or something close to that, you don't have to say it that way, but I want to challenge you. And I guarantee you this, that by the end of January, you'll be a slightly different person. Something will happen. Something will happen when you invite the anointing and invite a hunger and a desire for the anointing. Something will happen. Now, we will talk about this on January the 10th. I'm not trying to be a prophet here this morning, but I don't believe that the year 2015 will end the way 2014 is ending. There are too many things just ready to just explode. We could be in a different world in 365 days. We really could be. And I'm not talking Third World War or anything like that, although it could be some major wars. The planet is a boiling cauldron. Could boil over in many different places. We need the anointing of God on our lives to touch other people, to change our situation, to be men and women of God in our homes and our families. I don't know about you. I preached that myself this morning. I hope you've heard it, because that's what it is all about.